wonderful chapter. What a glorious thought that is tonight that Jesus is praying. He's praying to the Father. He's praying to the Father about us. And so tonight I want to preach on prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 9 with me, and I'm going to begin here, but we're going to move through the Scripture tonight. We'll come back to John 17. But John chapter 9, verse 31, is where I would like to begin tonight, and then we'll bring the message as the Lord leads. John chapter 9, verse 31 says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus tonight. We thank You, Father, for the reading of God's Word. We thank You for the songs that we sung. Oh, we appreciate that one about heaven tonight. Lord, it just seems like heaven is getting sweeter and sweeter. It just seems like tonight, Your God, as we come together, Lord, that Your Word gets better and better. Father, Your praise and worship to hear the songs of the Lord tonight, God. God just gets greater and greater in my heart. Father, I'm thankful tonight I'm Yours. I'm thankful tonight, God, that we're in Your hands. And Lord, that You're in our God. And Father, that we can trust in You and lean on You. And Lord, as You taught us there on Sunday night, Lord, Father, that we trust in the Lord tonight and lean not on our own understanding. In all Thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. Father, we are grateful tonight for the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Son of God, the Church of God. We're asking tonight, God, do something special for us. God, revive our hearts. Draw us unto You. May we understand more clearly about this thing about prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight there was a prayer that took place in the 117th Congress on Sunday night on the Lord's Day. I'm going to read you this prayer. This prayer was prayed by a Democrat named Emmanuel Cleaver. And he prayed as he opened up this Congress for the 117th time as a representation of our country. One that says, this is who we are, this is what we are, and he opened up in a word of prayer. I'm going to read you the prayer tonight. I'm going to make a few comments, and I'm going to preach on prayer. I want us to understand tonight that this man, who's a reverend in the Methodist Church, has prayed this prayer, and he prayed it in front of the Congress, the House of Representatives, representing us. Representing what Americans may believe or what Americans may think. And in doing that tonight, I want to bring it to our attention because I think it's the right thing to do and let you know about what prayer is versus what prayer that was offered. Let me read it to you tonight. He said this. He said, "Let us pray. Eternal God, we bow before Your throne of grace as we leave behind the politically and socially calamitous year of 2020. We gather now in this consequential chamber to inaugurate another chapter in a roller coaster representative government. Control our tribal tendencies, quicken our spirits, that we may feel Thy priestly presence even in moments of heightened disagreement. May we so feel Your presence that our service here may so feel Our presence that our service here may not be soiled by any utterances or acts of unworthy of this high office. Insert in our spirit a light so bright that we can see ourselves and our politics as we really are, sold by selfishness, perverted by prejudice, invigilated by idolatry. May the God who create the world and everything bless us and keep us. May the Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our family, peace across the land, And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber. And now and evermore, we ask in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, the God known by many names and face, a man and a woman. Did y'all know that that was prayed in the 117th Congress? If you didn't know that, you ought to know it. Now, who's Brahma that he prayed to? Well, he referenced in this prayer, from the very beginning, he called him Eternal God. He called him Lord. He called him God. And tonight, I want to introduce to you that this Brahma is a god of Hinduism. As you have the paper, I think, before you tonight, do you? Everybody have one of these? I want you to look at, I'm not going to read it tonight, but I want you to look at this Brahma god. It's a Hindu god. It is one tonight that they say, as a Hindu, is a god of creation known as the grandfather, the original creator of the universe. This man, this minister of the Methodist Church, that represents 117th Congress or House of Representatives in our country, is praying to a false god. Hinduism tonight says that Brahman is one supreme reality manifested in many gods and goddesses. Hinduism has 330 million gods. They believe that reincarnation until gain enlightenment. That's what they believe. They believe everybody just gets reincarnated until you finally just get enlightenment. Salvation to them is the way of works, the way of knowledge, and the way of devotion. They believe Jesus is just one of their deities that they worship like other deities, such as cows and chickens and roosters and things of that nature. Tonight, I want to preach on prayer, and I want to correct the misunderstanding about prayer. I don't appreciate it one bit tonight that a man would stand up and blaspheme my God in the way of prayer. I don't appreciate tonight that somebody stand up before 117th House of Representatives and pray in such a way. Tonight, I want to preach tonight on prayer is for who. And we want to start in John chapter 9. And I want you to know tonight that we need to understand that this man, with all others there that was in agreement with this man, has taken our nation and has prayed to a devil and has given it up to a devil tonight. And I'm not willing to accept that. I'm not willing to say it's okay. I'm not willing to be quiet on it. Tonight, I want to be truthful, be honest with you about prayer tonight, and I hope you take it to heart, as I do, as I have. Last night was one of the hardest days as me as an American by losing the Senate race in Georgia. Now tonight, we find that the Democrats, the liberals, whose agenda is going toward communism and toward Marxism, and it's anti-Bible and anti-God, has now found their way into being all three powers of our country. The presidency, the Congress of Senators, and the House of Representatives are completely in the full control of these people. We understand tonight that as there was over 75 million people that voted for President Trump, there was more than that, they say, that voted for Biden. And tonight, that draws my heart to a break to know that many people, just like last night, over 50% of all those that voted has voted a direction of communism and socialism. Now, I know tonight that might not mean nothing to you right now. That might not bother you right now. That might you might be in your own little world, doing your own little thing, living your own little life. But I promise you tonight, what has brought this country to the greatness that it is and the freedom and liberty in which we have is God and men praying to Him and men trusting in Him, and men being guided by Him, and men in following of Him. And tonight, one avenue that has made this country to where you and I tonight can have jobs and have homes and have the finest things of life, and we have freedom of religion and freedom of speech and freedom to worship tonight, is because men have prayed, women have prayed, in days gone by to a God that's alive. And so tonight, we're now praying to a dead devil. A dead devil's God. And that's where we have come to. But I want to take God's people and raise them up and let them know that that's not how we pray. And that's not what we do. And that's not what we're going to do. Amen. If all the world tonight wants to go to Brahma, they can run to Him as fast as they want. But me and this church is going to go to God. Amen. And so tonight we need to understand this. And I'm not mad or angry tonight. I could get like that very simple, very easy tonight. And so we find tonight that prayer is going to be essential for us in the next rest of our lives. And so tonight we need to know, who is it for? And that's my title, I pray. I just thought of it. Who is prayer for? And so tonight I want you to notice in chapter 9, verse 31, we find two things that we want to start with. And that is, we find that in verse 31 that there's a group of people that the Bible says that God heareth not sinners. All right, so that's a group of people that God doesn't hear. And then verse 31 says there's a group of people that God does hear. He says, those that are worshipers of God and doeth His will, Him He heareth. So not everybody's the same. Not everybody's equal. And so God has now made division between some that He hears and some that He doesn't hear. He called those tonight that doesn't hear, He called them sinners. He cannot hear sinners when they pray. Well, you and I are all born sinners. We're all born sinners. We're all sinners by choice. We sin by will. That Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there's none in this room tonight that can say that I'm not a sinner, because you are a sinner. And God said you're a sinner. And the Word of God gives that truth and that authority about being a sinner. He gives you another truth tonight. And while you're a sinner tonight, God doesn't hear your prayers. So it doesn't matter tonight what you think. It doesn't matter how you feel. You just got to know and understand and believe that if God is who He says that He is, He said that He doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. And so tonight, we got to figure out if that's true and we're all sinners, 100% of us, then how does God hear us tonight? If all of us were sinners, if all of us were lost, all of us were just undone, we were unsaved. Well, the Bible says, again, in that other group, He calls them, He says two things about them tonight that I think is important, that God heareth not sinners, and sinners are those who don't worship Jesus. That's a sinner. See, the Bible says there that, but if any man be a worshiper of God, if they worship Jesus, then God will hear them. So tonight, you move from the place of being a sinner to a worshiper. Amen? From being lost to saved by being a worshiper of God. And so we find that a sinner is one that don't worship Jesus. A sinner is one that don't follow Jesus. The Bible says, it doeth His will, Him He heareth. Do the will. Jesus' will tonight, you follow Jesus. And also the third thing that He says is that a sinner is one who don't obey Jesus, who don't do His will, obey Jesus. So in order to be tonight from a sinner to saved, you're going to have to be a worshiper of God. You have to be a worshiper of Christ. You're going to be a follower of Jesus. You're going to have to be an obeyer of Jesus tonight. That's what the Bible teaches. Anyone who doesn't worship Jesus, anyone who doesn't follow Jesus, anyone who doesn't obey Jesus, God calls them a sinner. God does not hear their prayer. And so tonight we see it. You say, well, I don't know if I believe all that. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, listen to this. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? They're the saved.
sinners that were saved. And His ears are open unto their prayers. So who does God listen to? Who does God hear? Righteous, saved, worshipers, followers, obeyers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2, But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. Now I'm talking about the Bible tonight. I'm talking about tonight of people who, because they pray, don't mean that God hears. You know, it's not really that advantage tonight to pray. If the advantage tonight is to pray that God hears. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of prayers that go on all day long, every day, that has no meaning. Because God's not hearing. We got to get to the place where God hears. And who does He hear? He hears the righteous. He hears the saved, those that have repented and received Christ as their Lord and Savior, those that are worshipers of God, worshipers of Christ, those that follow Jesus and those that obey Jesus. And so we find Scripture tonight to back this up and to say, so my first point tonight was the plight of the sinners. They're in an awful place. Sinners without God are in a horrible place. God don't hear their prayer. God don't hear their moaning and groaning, and God don't hear their pleas and their begs, and God don't hear. That's the plight of the sinner. Number two tonight, I want you to notice the promise to the saved. Look in Hebrews tonight, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look what God does with sinners. Because we're all sinners. We all start there. That's where we all began. Unless you get saved, you still are. And so tonight we see in Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 4, I want you to notice tonight concerning a great high priest that we have. The Bible says in chapter 10 and verse 4, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls, of goats, should take away sins. So in order to be a sinner tonight, that means that you just sin, right? But what we need to take away sin. In order for God to hear us, He's got to take the sin away. And so we find here that the sin cannot be taken away by the blood of bulls or the blood of goats. Verse 5, Wherefore, when He cometh, who's He? That's Jesus. Into the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when He said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them, that after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offerings for sin. That passage there tells us several things. Number one, it tells us this, that the sin that made us a sinner can be taken away by the high priest. And so tonight we find that the promise that God gives to every saved, God gives to everyone who's a sinner, who wants to be saved, is the promise is this, I'll take away your sin. Amen. What a promise. The second promise He says in verse 10 is that that you'll be made holy by the great high priest. Look there in verse 10. It says, by the which we are all sanctified. Now that word sanctified means to make holy. It means to be purified. It means to be consecrated. Now it's not saying that you're doing something to be holy. It's not saying you're doing something to be purified. He's not saying you're doing something to be consecrated. He is saying, though, that in verse 10, that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was offered for the sin, has made you sanctified. That one, Jesus tonight, the high priest, who has offered that sacrifice, has not only took away your sin, but it has now made you holy. It has made you now consecrated unto Him, separated from this world and dedicated to Jesus. That's what that word sanctified means. And so we find the promise to the saved is not only that He would take away the sin, but that He will sanctify us, which means tonight to make us holy. And so tonight you can't come into the throne room of God in unholiness. You can't come to the throne room of God in sin. And so it's Jesus tonight who took away our sin. And now it's Jesus that not only took away our sin, but He has made us holy. Jesus did that. And so we see thirdly, another promise is that those that have been made holy in verse 14 has been made perfected. Look what it says. It says, for by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so tonight, not only has He taken us who are sinners, and He said to us, by the way of promise, He said, listen, I will take away your sins if you put your faith and trust in Me, and I will forgive you, and I will cleanse you, and you will be made whole. And you be made holy. I will complete you. I will fulfill you. There will be nothing about you that God will not accept. There will be nothing about you that God will reject. There will be nothing at all that God will look at you and say, no, no, He's not able to come to heaven. No, no, He's not able to talk to Me. Oh, no, no, He's not able. No, no longer a sinner. I will hear Him. Because, see, it was Jesus that took away the sin. It was Jesus that sanctified us. It was Jesus that perfected us and made us complete and made us whole. And it was Jesus who did that tonight, the promise that He has to the saved tonight. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about prayer. Can I say here, fourthly, He promises not only to take away our sin and to make us holy and to perfect us, but He promises us tonight to have access to heaven. Look in verse 19. He says, having therefore. Now we've got to understand what therefore is for. Well, I just told you what it's for. He just said that He's the great high priest, right? He said that the goats and bulls' blood can't take away sin. Oh, but His body that was prepared. And that body that was prepared was given as an offering and a sacrifice for sin. And if you receive Him as the Lord and Savior tonight, that He could take away your sin. He'd then sanctify you, make you holy, and then perfect you and complete you. Therefore, verse 19, He says this. Brethren, who are the brethren? Well, look there in that chapter 2 with me, the Hebrews, real quick, so we can understand who brethren is, because we want to know that. Because we're fixing to get into some exciting passage there concerning prayer. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 11. He says, for both he that sanctifieth. Now who sanctifies? Jesus. We just read that in chapter 10. He sanctifies us. And then he says, and they who are sanctified. Now who are those? Sinners. He says, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. So those tonight that are called brethren are those tonight that were sinners that have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's been taken away their sin, who has declared them to be holy and filled them and full and complete, and there's nothing at all lacking in their heart and life, that Jesus has filled it. and it has been acceptable and approved, and it has been with God as He looked upon it and said, yes, I will do what? Look at verse 19. He says, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's prayer, dear child of God. That's prayer. Brethren, bold to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So the brethren tonight, which are those who are sanctified, which are those that were sinners, that were saved by the grace of God, has now have a promise from Jesus that you now have boldness, you have confidence, you have courage, that you can enter in. You can come right in. I mean, you don't have to ask. You don't have to do something. You don't have to be something. All you have to do is be saved. Sanctified. And now He has given a promise that we can come into the holiest tonight, into the presence of God. We can come to the place of God. And verse 12 tells us this. It says, but this man who is Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God where Jesus is at. So we can come tonight in the throne of grace. We can come into the Holy of Holies. We can come to the throne where Jesus is at because Jesus has given us the access. Jesus has given us the promise. Jesus has said that the reason why that you can come into this holy place, into you can come to heaven, and by the way of your prayer tonight, is by the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says that through His blood do we have the forgiveness of sins. The Bible tells us in verse 19 that by His blood we can come into the eternal heavens, that God will hear us, that we can come into the very presence of God where Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. Brethren, not American, not any other can. Brethren, not other religion, not either other people. Brethren. And so we find that in His blood, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, that we're saved by faith in His blood. We have forgiveness of sin through His blood. We have the way to get to heaven and the way of prayer tonight by His blood. It's in the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who sanctified us, who has promised us that He will take away our sin. He will sanctify us. He'll perfect us. And then gives us access to heaven. Through Him and His blood tonight. Then he goes on and says, lastly, this is the last promise, to use by prayer. Look at verse 20. By a new, never before this did anybody ever just come to the Holy of Holies, ever. This is new. And Jesus brought it. And then he said, living will never die, will never go away. Will never cease to be. Will never quit. It will be good in the night. It will be good in the day. It will be good in the good times and good in the bad times. It will be good when you want to and good when you don't. Living. New and living way. So Jesus is saying to us that are brethren, us that are saved, us that have had our sins forgiven and have been sanctified and perfected through the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, He has now given us access. He has given us the privilege and the honor to come to the holy place, the Holy of Holies tonight. He said, this is a new and living way. Nobody knows about this new and living way but His brethren. And so we find tonight that it is consecrated. I like this word there in that verse. He says that it is He hath consecrated for us. Who's us? Brethren. Who are the brethren? They were sinners that were saved by the grace of God, that were washed in the blood of the Lamb. I keep on saying it, I know, and I've been repetitive because I want to be on purpose because I'm fixing to make a point that this fact that we can pray if you are a brethren, for sure, that He has consecrated this prayer, this access, this communication, this fellowship, this communion, this ability to come with our prayers up through the ceiling, out through the sky, above and beyond all of the galaxies, and into the throne. Jesus consecrated that for us. Jesus did that. Jesus. So tonight, we talked about the plight of the sinner. It's a horrible place. God don't hear the prayers of a sinner. It's a horrible plight. But we see the promise of the Savior. But then thirdly tonight, and lastly, I want you to notice the path tonight. The path. John chapter 17. We've just read it a while ago. But I want you to notice the path tonight to the way of prayer, or the path of the Savior. The other one was the promise to the saved. But here in chapter 17 of John, I want you to notice that Jesus, in the way of His path, as He prayed to the Father. Look there in chapter 17, verse 1. Father, He said. Look there in verse 5. And now, O Father. And verse 11, He says, Holy Father. In verse 21, He says, Father. In verse 24, He says, Father. Verse 25, He says, Righteous Father. Do you think tonight that I would be honest to say, and you could say it with a clear conscience, that Jesus prayed, but He prayed to the Father? That's who He prayed to, the Father. Now, if Jesus would pray to the Father, I would think tonight that you and I would have some obligation tonight to pray to the Father. If Jesus prayed to the Father, and He's the one who made this access that we have called prayer to heaven where the Father's at. And He done it by His blood and through His blood and in His blood. And so tonight I would think that praying to the Father would be the correct way to pray. No other way. To the Father. And so we see tonight, but who is the Father? Well, Jesus explained that in verse 3. He said, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee. Now, who is Thee? He's talking to the Father, right? So we look in the way of the way it's written here. He starts in verse 1, Father. So that's who He's speaking to. Verse 3, He says, Thee, which is reference to the Father, is who? Is the only true God. And so we find the word only, it means single soul, or it means one. So there's not 330 million gods. There's one God. One God alone. That's it. Everything outside of this one God is false. Everything outside this one God is devilish. It's evil. It's wicked. Tonight we can't compromise on this truth. There's one God. And this is called the Father tonight. Jesus said that. But then He said, He said true. Now the word true means real, genuine, and authentic. It means opposed to fictitious, it counterfeit, imaginary, and pretended. Opposed to what is imperfect, defective, frail, or uncertain. Now when you look at this Brahma, you see the picture? That's Brahma. That's the God of Brahma. Now, does that look fictitious to you, or pretending to you, or imagery to you, or something? Does that? I mean, this is Brahma. And He has many, many pictures. I got another picture of Him. He has four heads, four arms. I read a little bit about Him. I want you to do it, but it might not be in there or not, but I read some other things about Him. He said that He's the God of creation, and He was created, He was half woman and half man. And half of Him, and the man and the woman of Him had relationships and they had offsprings. You can't get no more imaginary than that. And when you read it, you're going to see, hey, this is crazy. It says He come from an egg. I mean, I'm just saying tonight that this is the only truth. And the word God there is the supreme divinity. The supreme divinity. The God of all gods. No other gods beside Him. Absolutely zero. His name is not Brahma. His name is not anything like that man said that it was, that His name is by many other names. No, there's not many names to God. He's God. He's God. I know there's a lot of Hebrew names or some of that nature, but the bottom line is, He's God. And He's the only true living God. And so that's separated from any other God tonight, for He is the one true living God tonight. We've got to know who we're praying to. And it's not Brahma. It's not the devil. It's the God who created the devil. And so tonight we find that this prayer that the Lord has graciously given us the access to have through His blood. And as we look at Him as our example, we see that when He prays to the Father. And so when we pray to the Father. For example, if I'm going to pray tonight, I would have to say, Father, I come to You. Father, my Father, our Father, the Father. Jesus said, O righteous Father. The bottom line is we must address what and who we're praying to. We're not going to be able to say this, God, I mean, who's that? Father identifies who God is. Amen? And so tonight, we need to do as the same if we're going to pray, and we're going to have to, we want to be heard, because that's the importance of praying, is being heard. And so tonight, we find that Jesus is praying to the Father, but He does more than that. Look there in Matthew chapter 6 with me, and there in verse 9. Well, I better check the time. It may be midnight. Matthew chapter 6, and there in verse 9, Jesus begins to teach concerning prayer. And we all know this tonight, but I just want to hit a few things on this. I want you to notice in verse 9 of chapter 6 Jesus is saying, verse 9, He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So there's no misunderstanding here. What's He talking about? Prayer. He says, do this, our Father. Immediately. Not God, not Lord, not Jesus. Our Father. We got to get this right. And I've been reading it from people and this, that, and the other, and they say it's no big deal. I mean, you're making a big, those who say that you have to pray to the Father have made it a big deal. But, you know, it doesn't matter what man is saying. It doesn't matter what commentaries say. It doesn't matter what the big preachers on TV say. It doesn't matter what they all say on the radio tonight. What matters is what did Jesus do? Jesus prayed to the Father. And when He prayed, He called out Father. And tonight, in the teaching, in Matthew chapter 6, He tells us to say our Father. So there must be something to it tonight. To pray. I want to pray and be heard. Don't you? I want to be able to get on my face before God. And I want to be able to take that promise that Jesus gives me because of the promise of salvation to me, that He has taken away my sin, sanctified me, perfected me. And, you know, and now as I look to God, God looks to me. He sees the blood of the Lamb and He accepts me and He takes me in and He takes me as His own tonight, and that we have a relationship and I can have fellowship with God because of Jesus. And then He gives me the right to come into the room. I want to be able to do that. So Father is where we start. Now, Jesus goes a little further. Look in John chapter 14. John 14. And what matters tonight is what Jesus has taught, what Jesus has said. We're not really interested in anybody else tonight. Grandma, grandpa, mom and daddy, brother and sister, pastor, teacher. Don't matter. What you've taught, what you were taught before, what you this, that, and the other. It's what Jesus is saying tonight. And so Jesus is saying concerning prayer now. He says in John 14, verse 13. John 14, verse 13, he says this. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now turn to chapter 15 and verse 16. I want you to hear this phrase tonight. It said it twice there in those two verses. I want you to hear it because I want you to recognize it. Chapter 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, see consistency here? Of the Father, in my name, He may give it you. Chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day you shall ask in my name, And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. The whole conversation is with the Father. And it's concerning us. And He makes this statement over and over and over. And He says this. If you pray to the Father in my name. In my name. In my name. Now, what does the word in mean? Well, it means this tonight. It means in. In other words, if you're going to get to the Father, you're going to have to come in Jesus. Right? Now, that word in my name also means at my name. If you're gonna pray, and God's gonna hear your prayer, you're gonna have to pray to the Father in my name. That means that during the duration of that prayer must be by His name, on His name, at His name, in His name. So as we begin a prayer, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. That's where the ears of God begin to perk up. It's not you. He heard His Son's name. And as He hears the Son's name, you say, Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name. That gives me access. That gives me privilege. That gives me favor. I'm able to now to move on and move in. And now, as I'm there, Lord, I'm in His name still. I'm by His name. I'm here by His name. We begin to pray. We begin to praise Him, to thank Him, to give petitions and give requests and be intercessory prayer for others and begin to just allow our hearts to flood and flow forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so when we get done with the praying that we have, guess how we end? And how we started. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's what it means to pray in His name. You start, you finish, and the whole middle. It's completely in His name. It's His name. It's all in His name. You enter in by Jesus' name. Why? Because it was Jesus' blood that got you in there. Why do you have to continue in Jesus' name? Because it's Jesus' blood. Why do you have to end in His name? Because it was Jesus' blood. Just try to make it simple. My question to you tonight, if you would, I'm not going to read it again because it nauseates me, but that prayer that was prayed from the 117th House of Representatives by a Methodist minister praying to Brahma. And friend, there was not any way that God heard one word of that. Not one. And then He ends it with, Amen, woman. Or a woman. I mean, listen, friend. I'm a pastor of a church, and I don't like using that word minister. I think it's a silly word to me. But the fact of the matter is, He's in that same camp that I'm in. And when people call Him minister and He this, that, and the other, they look at me in the same tone. I don't take that lightly at all. That angers me. It angers me that a man could be that stupid and hold that office and blaspheme my God and call Brahma God, eternal Father, and Lord. Tonight I could say to you, this is how you pray. And then, Jesus, and we're not going to turn there because time's getting away, but in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, Amen. He didn't say, a woman. He said, Amen. What is Amen? So be it, right? So it is. The third term that could mean, it could mean, let it be so. Let me tell you what Amen is. Amen is, so be it. So it is, let it be so. That's what it is. It's not a gender word. Has nothing to do with men. Has everything to do with God. And so when He put that little twist at the end, it doesn't surprise me because it had nothing to do with God anyway. But to us that know the Lord, and to us who understand how to pray and why we pray and how we can get to heaven by the way of our prayer and what it takes to get there, He's a blasphemer. And I believe He needs to be called out. And I believe that the church needs to understand and know what's happening in the higher courts, in the higher parts of people who are making laws for us in our land, who work for us, praying to another God. And so tonight, I hope that maybe it comes to an understanding tonight. One more verse, chapter 4 of Hebrews, and we'll close with this thought. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. There in that verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like we are, as yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, if there's any time in our lifetime that we're going to have a time of need, I would think it's going to be today and the rest of this year. And boy, don't we know how to get to heaven in Jesus' name. And He promises if we can get to that throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and we're going to find grace to help in the time of need. If there's anything that we need as a church, it's prayer. Anything that this country needs is prayer. But prayer that God hears. He hears not the prayers of the sinner. Boy, you've got to get saved. You've got to come know Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus today. You've got to pray to Jesus and pray in Jesus and through to Jesus. And Jesus has got to be the one tonight that takes your words and carries them up to the Father. The Father will hear. Now, He may not answer like we want. He might say, wait. He might say no. He might say partial. He might say yes. That's His business. It's our business to get to the throne room of grace. Amen? To obtain mercy and find grace in time of help. God help us tonight. Let's stand to our feet and as we pray tonight. And I pray that I brought something tonight to help you in the way of your prayer life. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. In, out, by Jesus. Amen. All right, well, let's pray. If you'd like to come to the altar tonight, we'll do that. Any prayer requests, I guess, we need to say? I was wondering about that because I know that the Harris County is shutting down.